Hey, listeners, you are about to experience one of our exclusive episodes recorded at Missionary in Jacksonville. We're excited about Missionary Conference. If you want to listen to all of the interviews that we've captured all at once before they premiere in the main podcast feed, we're talking conversations with Jim Renahan, Paul Washer, Conrad Mbewe, and more. If you want to get all of those now, go to missionspodcast.com/premium, and you'll be able to get them all in advance before anyone else does. And use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get your first month of premium membership for free. So again, go to missionspodcast.com/premium. Use the promo code MISSIONARY in all caps, and you'll get it for free for the first month, and you'll get access to everything. And now, enjoy this exclusive episode from Missionary. Welcome back to the Missions Podcast, the show that explores your hard questions on missions, theology, and practice. I'm Alex Kochman, joined by Scott Dunford in the flesh. We're here at Missionary in Jacksonville, Florida, and joined by our returning friend of the show, Jonathan Master. Probably third time on the show now, I think so.
Third time.
We'll get a gold star at this point.
I'm hoping for something
soon.
We
need to have swag gifts or something.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get around to it eventually. but we're so glad to have you here. And of course, you're keynoting at this conference talking about the forgotten doctrine.
It was a doctrine, but we just forgot it.
We forgot what it was about. Yeah. But in all seriousness, this is why we created this show, is because we realized that in the missions community, talking about doctrine just wasn't super popular. It's like, that's all that fuddy-duddy stuff. No, we want to be boots on the ground. And at the same time as well, you get into certain intellectual, theological, scholastic circles, and it becomes less about putting our faith into practice. And so the idea of, man, there's a forgotten doctrine in missions that is the key to the whole thing. We're very interested in that. So what is the forgotten doctrine?
You may have oversold it. I don't know if it's the key. I mean, there are a lot, obviously doctrine is important. Yeah. I'm with you. I think this is a discussion we need to have more of, theology and missions.
Is it infant baptism? Is that what you're going
to say? No.
I forgot to introduce you fully too. So president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary as well. So.
Yeah. Good to be with you. So it's really on the doctrine of regeneration. And if I can frame it a little bit, the reason why we talked about it in terms of it being forgotten is there are a number of different ways in which the doctrine of being born again, the new birth, has been either ignored or redefined, which is another way of really forgetting its true significance. So an example of redefinition would be if you think about the doctrine of the new birth simply as a kind of decision that's made at some point in life. If you look at the Barna Group's definition, that's how they define it. You made a decision at one point, therefore you're a born again Christian. And then there are other ways it can get forgotten, which I think do come out in missions. And those relate more to thinking purely in terms of technique, purely in terms of pragmatic concerns, and forgetting that missions, evangelism, church planting is a supernatural work of God. And we are reliant totally on God to bring dead hearts to new life through the proclamation of the word. And I emphasize the proclamation of the word because, as you both know, whenever you start to look at the scriptures and what the Bible says about the new birth, what you realize is the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to do the work of God. So anytime you see the Word of God diminished, or the proclamation of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God diminished, which sadly can be true in some missions discussions, what is really happening there, in addition to diminishing the Word, is you are really forgetting that this is a spiritual work. This God, the Holy Spirit, uses His Word to do this powerful, miraculous work of bringing people to new spiritual life.
Why do you think that that's been something that's been lost or forgotten recently? What are some of the factors that are contributing to that?
You used a good key word there too, technique, because I think it's that managerialist mindset. Yes. We think we can just layer a technique on top of anything and, you know, produce success.
Yeah, I think so I think that is a part of it. That would be, I would give two answers to the question. One is the answer of technique. We are naturally prone to being man-centered, and we're naturally prone to thinking in terms of what we do, and particularly in our culture, we are managerial and technically oriented. So I think that's a big part of it. And I can't really say which is more significant, but the other thing is what I brought up earlier. I do think that the language of born again was used, and was used prominently for many years in evangelical circles, But when you scratch beneath the surface, what you realize is the way they were using it often was not in a biblical way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't wholly biblical in its use. So then what happens is you get the term devoid of the meaning, the term devoid of the actual biblical undergirding. And that eventually leads to its being ignored. And then, if I can complicate things a little bit, I think some, and this would be true certainly in the world that I'm a part of and the circles I'm in, some reacted against that because they saw, oh, it's only being used for a superficial, decisional kind of event.
Yeah.
And therefore, they didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
So there are problems on both sides of that, but I think that's part of the reason why it's ignored.
So what do you? I mean, you're leading a seminary.
Yeah.
You're obviously a seminary that's very focused on missions. You're co-sponsor of this whole event, and we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So as you're dealing with the next generation of pastors, how are you helping them walk that line between, you know, Finneyism, which is very much like draw the net, push a decision, get them to the altar, but also not just, but not calling for a decision.
Not like frozen chosen.
Right. For sure.
How do
for
we
sure.
walk that line? And how are you directing students?
Yes. The best examples in the Presbyterian world and the best examples in the Baptist world have always recognized that there is a free offer of the gospel that we have to make. And there's even a kind of compulsion and urging that is to take place in biblical preaching, where you're offering the gospel, you're offering the blessings of Jesus Christ himself to those who are hearers, recognizing, of course, that God's the one that elects, God's the one who regenerates, God's the one who renews men's hearts. So you're right. A danger that can creep in is you're not offering the gospel. You're not freely offering Christ to sinners. But I think by and large, in our moment, the greater danger is probably the kind of manipulative, Finney-type decisionalism.
I think something else that our president, Paul Davis, we've had him on to discuss this and emphasize this. I think one of the other problems is with decisionism, the emphasis is on identifying that exact internal moment of the heart at which a person became regenerate, right? Which can be tricky to do, as we know. You know, the Spirit blows where he will, moves in. You can't see him. You can see his effects, though. Something that I think is underemphasized, and I joked with you about baptism earlier, but something that is unemphasized, is that objective moment of not just consider in a Muslim context, for instance. Not only are they privately identifying now as a follower of Jesus, but actually they've taken that step to take, you know, what you call the covenant sign, right? Or maybe we would just say is you know, that step of obedience in baptism. But however you want to define the public act of baptism, you're doing that in defiance of your community, in solidarity with Christ. And that's far more, the emphasis there is on the objective and joining the covenant people of God, and not just on identifying exactly what's happening in the heart as well. And so, you know, what do you think of that, where we need to put the emphasis not just on what's happening in that hidden realm of the interior that we can't see? It's also about the church, right? And joining the church objectively and visibly.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think very few of us could probably with absolute inerrant precision say, this is the moment when I was regenerated. This is the moment when I was born again.
I got my spiritual birth certificate in my Bible. Yeah. They gave it to me.
But even those things, I mean, I know you're joking, but even those things are really more about a public profession, which is a great thing. Yeah. We have to have public professions of faith. But so I think it's probably naive for us to expect or to kind of burden someone with when was the moment at which you know you were brought from death to life. But here's what we know, that regeneration, one of the wonderful fruits is you're trusting in Christ. You're clinging to Christ. You are receiving
today
and resting. Exactly. Receiving him and resting upon him. And so someone who has come to Christ and is receiving his promises and is resting on him, then we say, oh, there it is. There's the mark of regeneration.
That was life-changing for me because I grew up always wondering, you know, like, oh, did I believe enough? Did I repent enough? When I realized it's about trusting and loving Christ.
That's right.
It was
We had a missionary apply. You probably remember our friend Andrew Johnson, who still serves with ABWE. When he was having his board interview, sharing his testimony, I think he was asked at one point, you know, well, what was the exact moment, you know, that you knew that you were saved? And he was being a little cheeky, and he said, well, 2,000 years ago. But there's a beauty to that as
yeah.
well.
And yeah.
Not that he wasn't converted in a moment right. of time, but also we need to look objectively to Christ. So tell us a little bit then about what Greenville Seminary is doing to emphasize mission. I know we've talked about it a little bit before, but just remind, you know, we've got a part of our audience that may be more in line with the Greenville Seminary than ABWE. What does that look like for somebody to take their next steps with missions?
We are convinced that missionaries need to be well-trained, and that the work of planting churches is a work done by ordained ministers of the gospel. There doesn't mean there aren't other team members, other roles. Of course there are, and we love that. But we're persuaded that God has called ministers to do this work, whether it's here or somewhere else. So one of the things that we've done to encourage missions and the emphasis on missions is simply just to talk about it and to remind people of the heritage within our seminary tradition of men who are called by God, being trained and being sent out. It's a little bit like what we see in Acts 13, where the Holy Spirit sets apart Saul and Barnabas, these two teaching elders in mm-hmm. the Antioch church. And those two men, they're pastors, they're trained, they're doing their work, but those are the ones who are sent. And that's the model that I think we have in the scriptures, the best model we have in history. That's what we're seeking to replicate. So a lot of it's talking about it. A lot of it is we're doing some things historically to try to remind people of our heritage. So we have this little imprint called Log College Press that reprints 18th and 19th century American Presbyterians. And we have a whole series now called American Presbyterian Missions. You should check it out in there. Wow. There's some tremendous stuff. Yeah. But what we're trying to do in that, not only is to bring good resources to bear on the church's discussion, but also to say, this is something that is part of our DNA. This is something that by all rights is part of our very best.
Well, and even after that, Machen. I mean, that was about missions.
That
right?
was. It was about missions. It was about missions. And so I think coming at it from a number of different angles, but just trying to remind people of this, and then to teach with biblical clarity about what Christ commands His church to do in reaching the nations.
Yeah, wonderful. And they can go to
GPTS. I think I remember you not being able to get this right last time, too.
Yeah, I kept messing it up. Thank you for reminding everyone.
Yes, yeah. No, GPTS. So Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, GPTS.edu.
Great. Very good. Check it out. And we'll continue to bring you content here from Missionary until our next episode. Go make disciples of all nations. And you can go to abwe.org to learn more about us and the show. See you soon.